Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 11, 2023, and the time is 10:02 a.m. This is the public rulemaking meeting for Washington Administrative Code 458-20-13501 or Rule 13501, titled Timber Harvest Operations. This meeting is being recorded. My name is Tiffany Doe. My last name is spelled D as in Delta, and O as in Oscar. I am a tax policy specialist with the Interpretations and Technical Advice Divisions for the Department of Revenue. I will be the facilitator for this meeting. Also in attendance from the Department of Revenue are Atif Aziz, his role as the Department Rules Coordinator, Kathy Holder in her role as Management Analyst. Kathy will be monitoring our recording equipment as this meeting is being recorded. Brenton Madison in his role as the Department Special Task Manager, Paul Stute Forrest, Tax Field Operation Manager, and Julie Hill as in her role as a Excise Tax Examiner for Real Estate Excise Tax. If there are any other attendants from the Department of Revenue that I missed, please identify yourself.
Yeah, I'm also here, Dwayne Woolsey, one of the foresters here with the Revenues Timber Tax.
Thank you, Dwayne. Anyone else?
Tara Smith, I'm the Forest Tax Auditor.
Okay, thank you, Tara. Anyone else? Okay. As the department continues to resume its normal business operations in light of the emergency order that have been in place over the last several years, we are conducting this public meeting remotely through Microsoft Teams. Participants here are joined through Microsoft Teams as well as through phone. We do not have other parties physically present for this meeting. We thank you for taking the time to attend this meeting and providing us with valuable feedback concerning the rulemaking activities for WAC 458-20-13501. Please note, we are best able to consider your comments and will evaluate all comments. Sorry. Sorry.
Doing great.
Sorry, I'm kind of lost my place here, so I apologize for that.
No problem.
Please note, we are best able to consider your comment when you provide it to us in writing, which can be sent to me at tiffanyd@dor.wa.gov. We have external parties in attendance. Other than attendees from the Department of Revenue previously identified, for the purpose of the record, we will go through the list as shown on Teams to identify the attendees and who they are representing.
I'm just going to run down the list of participants on Teams. When I call your name or number, can you please identify yourself, who you are representing, and whether you are planning to provide any oral comments later in this meeting. So the first participant I see is a phone number, 509-684-4589. Can you please identify yourself and who you're representing?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's actually Stevens County Title Company in Colville, Washington. We will not have any comments.
Okay, thank you. Next, I see Amy Engstrom.
She is also Stevens County Title.
Okay, thank you. Next on the list, got Brett Davis. Brett Davis, can you identify who you're representing and whether you're going to comment? Okay, we'll come back to him. Christina Kaufman.
Murphy is also Stevens County Title.
Okay, thank you. Next, we've got Julie Hill. Sorry, that's DOR. Never mind. Jerry Bonagofsky.
Washington Contract Loggers Association. And I'll have a few comments later.
Okay, thank you. Next, John Ehrenreich.
I'm John Ehrenreich. I'm with the Washington Forest Protection Association. I'm the Director of Forest Tax and Economics, and I will have comments.
Okay. Thank you. Next, we've got Leif Koski. Leif Koski. Okay. I go down to Eddie Merritt.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Sorry. Oh, sorry. You're another DOR employee. Sorry.
Sorry.
My fault. Next, we've got Mickey Wolf.
Stevens County Title, no comments.
Okay, thank you. Let's see who else we got here. Yvonne Hersey.
Hi, this is Yvonne with CORE Incorporated. We're a bookkeeping service in Battleground, and we are representing Kasky Logging, Ticka Timber, and ArborMax Tree Service. And Leif Koski is on. He may not know how to work his system to check, but I did confer with him that he is on with Ronald Ticka from Ticka Timber. They're at another office joining us. We may not have comments, maybe some questions as the bookkeepers of these timber and logging businesses.
Okay, thank you. Last participant I see is Zoe Bartosh.
Yes, hi, I'm with Windermere Real Estate out here in Westport. I don't anticipate any comments.
Okay, thank you. All right, you can proceed, Tiffany.
Yeah, thank you, Atif. Do we have anyone else that have not been called on or identified for this meeting? Just want to double check. Okay. Doesn't look like we have anyone else, so I'm going to proceed. The legal authority for this meeting is from Chapter 3405 RCW, Administrative Procedures Act. This meeting was announced through publication in the Washington State Register as WSR 23-06-074 on March 1st, 2023, and by notification to interested persons. The purpose of this meeting is to solicit comments from the public prior to taking action to propose amendments for WAC 458-20-15301 timber harvest operations. Refer to in this meeting as Rule 15301. We emphasize that the rule draft as now written is provided for discussion purposes only. We will consider any comments received relating to the proposed amendments to Rule 13501. We appreciate receiving written comments and will evaluate all comments as we proceed with the rulemaking process. We request you send written comments to my attention, Tiffany Doe, at the email address tiffanyd@dor.wa.gov no later than Friday, April 14, 2023. In this way, the department can fully consider your comments before proceeding with future rulemaking activities. Now, let me briefly outline the rulemaking process and where we are in respect to this rule. The first step in the process is to file a notice with the Office of the Co-Revisor to announce a public meeting for solicitation of comments regarding possible changes to the rule. The notice called a Form CR-101 is published in the State Register and announced through mailings to interested persons. The public meeting for the rule is today. The next step is to file a notice of proposed rulemaking with the Office of the Co-Revisor to announce a public hearing on the proposed rule. This notice, called a Form CR-102, is also published in the State Register and announced through mailings to interested persons. The purpose of the hearing is to receive further public comments regarding the proposed changes to the rule. All public comments will be fully evaluated as we proceed in the rulemaking process. Any comments received will be included in the permanent rulemaking file kept by the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division. The final step is to adopt the revised rule. This is not a public process, but simply requires that we submit the final draft of the rules to the Office of Co-Revisor using a Form CR-103 with the appropriate forms. The revised rule will be effective shortly thereafter and will be published in the Washington State Register. Before opening the meetings for comments, I will briefly explain the proposed revisions to the rule. We are revising this rule to provide general cleanup for formatting and style modernizing. We are adding clarification to previous guidance and examples on the following. Manufacturing activities in the timber harvest operations, which include explanation for the manufacturing portion of the operations begins, and what activities are considered manufacturing activities. Processing for hire activities, intact treatments of services related to manufacturing portion. Sales of both standing and harvested timber. We are modifying example 12, 13, and 14 in the current rule to reflect changes to the B&O tax exemption for small harvester in RCW 8204-333 that resulted from Substitute House Bill 1530-13, Chapter 48, Laws of 2007. We are expanding the guidance and example on the following topics. Taxpayers engage in multiple activities like extracting and or manufacturing and selling activities. Log hauling services, like when such hauling services are and are not jointly provided, and the proper tax classification for those hauling activities, as well as whether a deduction for service furnished jointly deduction under public utility tax applies. Selling activities, specifically to the requirement of reporting gross proceeds received from sales of harvested timber when the harvesting activities are conducted by an extractor for hire. Retail sales tax exemptions for certain manufacturing machinery and equipment. We will now proceed with the comment portion of this meeting. At this time, I'm going to call on the stakeholders who previously expressed that they would like to provide some comment. And so the first person I would like to call on is Jerry.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So I'm just looking at a couple different areas. The first one being example 4. And that would be in the section titled facts. And it's just kind of a typo more than anything. That first, the second set sentence in the facts section of example 4, it starts out with the word timber. And I believe that should be TTT for the company. TTT fells the timber, not timber fells the timber.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. And I apologize. Would you please identify yourself again and who you are representing? Sorry.
Jerry Bonagoski, Washington Contract Loggers Association.
Thank you, Jerry. Besides that one, do you have additional comments?
Yes, example 11. Okay. So example 11 in the facts section. Be the third sentence, in performing its business activities, GHI uses a feller buncher to fell, delimb, buck, and cut a majority of timber. I believe he could probably just end that sentence at fell, because when you include the words delimb, buck, and cut, potentially that machine then would be dealing with manufacturing rather than just extracting. Because if you go down further in the results section, it gets into that kind of that topic. So, if it is a feller buncher and that's all it's doing, that it wouldn't qualify for the manufacturer sales and tax exemption. But up above the way it's worded, it potentially could, the feller buncher could, based on whether the majority of use threshold was met, by processing the log, by limbing it, bucking it, cutting it, et cetera. Did you kind of follow my train of thought there?
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate that.
Yep. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm going to look at the chat real quick. As Yvonne mentioned, she did not receive any documents for review. Kathy, would you please help me send the link to our website where she could review the document with a copy of the
Yes, I'll locate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. And next we have John. Would you please introduce yourself again and share with us who you're representing and then share your comments. Thank you.
Yes, my name is John Ehrenreich. I'm the Director of Forest Tax and Economics for the Washington Forest Protection Association. For those of you who don't know me, WFPA is a organization of large and small timber landowners in the state of Washington, representing about 4 million acres. I've got some comments here, but the first thing I would like to request is that you hold the written comment period open for an additional week. If you could do that, please. You got the comment out on, quite early on March 1, or the notice out, but this being the time of year that it is for tax professionals trying to do taxes, as well as lobbyists working in the legislature, folks have had a little bit of trouble focusing in on this particular rule. And if we could have a little bit more time for written comments, I would appreciate that. So that's a request. Atif, if you could look at that. There's some grammatical things in here, but one of the questions I had is, you have some examples of manufacturing, it seems like there's missing in there in all but one of the examples, or discussions, yarding. And I think yarding is also part of the manufacturing activity. You do have one example where the yarding was taking place with using a helicopter, and that was deemed part of the manufacturing. But and mostly when you give the list of the bucking, measuring, limbing, and then you go on from there. But somehow or other, the logs need to get from where they were severed up to some point where they're loaded on board a truck, and usually that's called yarding, and that is usually part of the manufacturing process, as I understand it. Jerry, if I'm wrong on that, jump in there. But you've got a couple examples where it just seems like that's missing out of the sequence of events that you're talking about. Let's see, in terms of other potential, and again, maybe I'm not entirely understanding. Give me a second here. I'm looking for 2 sub E. Sub triple I. It seems like the paragraph is missing some language, like it wasn't quite complete. Let me see if I can find it here real fast. I'll just flag that for your ABC, triple I. Yeah, okay. Well, let's see here. Looks fine now. it might have been just late at night when I was reviewing it. It wasn't making sense. Let's see. Make wholesale sales of eligible products report the gross tip proceeds. Okay. Let's just let that one go. I think probably my biggest concern, it goes to how your section number six. I've sent you some written comments.
Yes.
And it would be so I have failed to over the years make comments with respect to the results of House Bill, I believe it's 1513 from 2007. I ran that bill and helped write it with Mark Mullen. We rather dramatically changed how the real estate excise tax and the B&O tax apply to sales of standing timber in that. And I think you cited one of the consequences of that bill, which was the exemption for the small harvesters. But we also changed how the REIT applies to sales of standing timber. Essentially, we created a new section 12D in RCW 8204-260, and that new section was called sales of standing timber. And sales of standing timber are subject to the B&O tax if the harvest is contemplated within 30 months. And at the same time, we put in 8245-195 over in the REIT section, saying that if the sale of standing timber is subject to that B&O section, then it is exempt from the REIT. And so your example number nine in section six is incorrect. Further, we also made it clear that sales or transfers of standing timber from one wholly owned entity to another wholly owned entity. In other words, simply a transfer of timber, which is very common, is subject to neither the REIT or the B&O tax. And essentially the way we did that was, it's always been not subject to the REIT, a transfer where there's no change in the beneficial interest. But we also made it exempt from the B&O tax if it doesn't. So the definition of the term sale is exempted under 8245-010, I believe it's 3 sub P, in which it says that, you know, if there's just simply a mere change of the beneficial interest as it goes from one entity to another entity, wholly owned entity, then it is not considered a sale. Under the definition of sale and for the REIT tax. And then what we did was say over in the B&O tax that if it's also exempt from the B&O tax, if it doesn't meet the definition of sale under the REIT chapter. So so both of those cases are there. And that happens a lot with real estate investment trusts, where the landowning company cannot do anything operable. They cannot. They can own the timber and grow the timber, but they cannot cut the timber. They have to transfer that to a fully taxable sub-entity, which is, again, you know, fully taxable. But that process might otherwise trigger the REIT or the B&O, and so we fixed that in 2007. What's been a lot of confusion over the years since we did that was I had not realized that we had never made that fix in 13501 and reflected that, you know, the example is incorrect, and it probably would be a good time to do that. It would also be helpful for my members to have all of those particular examples of commercial sales of timber, sales or transfers, to be put in there so they can see where they fit. The real estate excise tax does apply for sales of standing timber when it's sold along with the land, and the timber harvest horizon is indeterminate. And that's that, you know, just a sale of land and timber. All of that's subject to the REIT. The other is when timber is sold apart from the land with an indeterminate harvest schedule, time horizon. That would be the sale of cutting rights. And that is also subject to the REIT. This real estate excise tax meets the definition of sale under the REIT chapter. And then finally, the most common one of the most common methods for those that are not real estate excise tax, real estate investment trusts, is the simple sale of timber, where the owner of the timber, the landowner, severs the timber, or, you know, hires a logger to sever the timber, and then sells a harvested log, a log that's already been felled. At that point, the log is no longer, has been severed from the ground. It's no longer real estate, and therefore would not be subject to the real estate excise tax. But it is subject to the various B&O tax, extracting, manufacturing, wholesaling, et cetera, depending on where at the point of time it actually makes the sale. So those are essentially the five major ways that timber is sold. And there has been some confusion in the past because people don't quite understand. First off, because the examples are wrong. We still have problems with auditors occasionally not understanding that the sale of standing timber that is to be harvested within 30 months is not a sale of does not meet the definition of sale under the real estate excise tax. And that would be, it would be nice to get that fixed if you don't choose to add in these different methodologies of selling or transferring timber. There's some other grammatical stuff, but I tell you, I think I've talked long enough, and I'll put those into a set of comments and written comments and send them along. Again, I hope we can extend the comment period. I do have members who are preparing comments, but they told me that it's likely they're not going to be ready by the 14th. So if we could extend that, I'd sure appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I'm done.
Thank you, John. We appreciate your comments. Then I think, does anyone else have any comments? As I know that Yvonne may have some questions or comments as well.
I will have some comments. This is Dwayne Woolsey, Forester with Revenue. You are ready for them.
Yes.
Hold on. Sorry. If you're a DOR employee, you can send your comments to Tiffany. This is mainly a forum for the public to provide feedback on rule drafts. So, Dwayne, if you could just contact Tiffany directly, I think that'd
I will do that. Thanks, Jerry. Yep, thanks.
Thank you. There was a request to extend the comment period. I think that's fine. So if we could get comments by April 21st to Tiffany, that would be very helpful. Sorry, Tiffany, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Well,
thank you, Atif. Thank you. Anyone else that would like to share their comments at this time?
Tiffany, this is Yvonne with CORE. Since we didn't have the documents ahead of time to really review, I guess we're not sure how much this particular rule is affecting the B&O and filing for our clients on the bookkeeping side. So we'll probably just need to review those documents and send comments if we have any at that time.
Yes, that would be great, Yvonne. Thank you. And just want to reiterate what Atif just shared is that we are able to extend the period for receiving written comments. So if you could have your written comments sent to me to the email address tiffanyd@dor.wad.gov by April 21st, 2023, that would be greatly appreciated. Last chance. Oh, Kathy, thank you so much. She also have my email address in the chat if you need it. Okay, so last chance for any other comments that you would like to share today. Without further comments, I'd like to proceed with recapping the rulemaking process. This has been a public meeting for input regarding the proposed amendments for Rule 13501, Timber Harvest Operations. As a reminder, the department will next review any comment received on the rule draft, make changes as needed, and publish a proposed rule for public comment. Once the rule proposal is published, the department will hold a public hearing on the proposal to gather feedback from the public. Thank you for participating in this public meeting. If you are not on the Department Rules notification list, did not receive a notice for today's meeting directly from the department, and you want to keep informed of future rulemaking activities related to this rule, please provide Kathy Holder with your name, mailing address, and email address. Kathy can be contacted at kathyh@dor.wad.gov. The time is now 10:35 a.m. and the public meeting for Rule 13501 is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.